prayer. Gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank you this evening that we're gathered together in thy house. And Lord, we thank thee for this opportunity of spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and of putting out the word of God. And our Father and our God, we pray that tonight that thou wouldst work even through the ministry of thy servants, that, O God, thou wilt speak tonight and that thou wilt move tonight. And that thou wilt bring salvation to precious souls. Our desire is that men and women and young people across this land and further afield will hear the good news of salvation and come to a living, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that thou art the answer to every sinner's need. And we pray that thou wilt meet sinners at the point of their need tonight and glorify thy Son. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. The opening hymn tonight is number 251. Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in a sanctified throng. These are hymns that have been sung in the past and they'll go out through the internet tonight to you. Trust you'll join in your home, wherever you are, whatever device you're listening on tonight, you'll be able to join in with this great old gospel hymn. It's on page 277 if you have our own hymn book, number 251. Let us unite together in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight. We thank thee for the good news of salvation, that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. We thank thee, O God, for the testimonies of thy servants and down through the centuries of time, the testimonies to saving grace. We thank thee, O God, for scripture that reminds us of these testimonies of what thou didst do in the likes of Saul of Tarsus and people like that, and now their lives were changed and transformed by the grace of God. We thank you for those words of the apostle, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Father in heaven, we rejoice for the testimony of many tonight, even in this land and further afield, who have known the free grace of God, who have experienced the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the application of His precious blood to their hearts, that cleansing from every sin. We thank you, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, that there is cleansing and healing for all who will wash in that life-giving flood. There is perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through the blood. Gracious God and Father, we pray that tonight, Lord, Thou wilt work, even in our midst, that Thou wilt cause Thy blessing to be poured out upon us. We pray that the Spirit of God would descend upon this place tonight, amen, upon this service tonight. And we pray that every listener, every hearer tonight, would have ears open to hear the message of the gospel. We thank you for that word that says, incline your ear, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We pray, our God and Father, that souls will hear, that their souls might live tonight. Amen. Grant, O God, that they might receive as the gospel goes out. And we pray that, Lord, they may experience the salvation that is found alone in Christ. We pray you'll bless every such service across our land where the gospel is truly preached. We thank you for men who are faithful in preaching the word of God. We pray that thou wilt use the means that we have even at this time, and Lord, to present the word of God. And O God, we pray that many shall seek and find the Savior, that many shall turn to Christ. And O God, experience the grace, the salvation that is found alone in Him. Father, we pray for families tonight that are incomplete. We pray that they might be completed in Christ. We pray, O God, for those yet in the mountains, wild and bare, far from the tender shepherd's care, that they might be brought into the fold and family of God. We thank you for the good shepherd who seeketh the sheep that is lost, to bring it in to the fold and family of God. We pray that those lost sheep will be found tonight, and Lord, will be brought in to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray for thy servants, minister in song, and the testimony from Brother John. We pray that thou wilt use them tonight, even for thy praise, for thine honor, and for thy glory. Look to thee, O God, that thou wilt remember us, and that thou wilt bless us, and that thou wilt do us good here in this place tonight. Remember those who have particular needs, those in our church family who are ill at this time. We pray for healing and restoration. For those, O God, who are ill at home with this virus or other illnesses, we pray for thy touch upon them, that thou wouldst minister to them, that thou wouldst heal them and restore them, if it is your will, to wanted health and strength. Think of those who have lost loved ones at this time. We pray for comfort for them and for help. Remember our government, too, at this time, and all of our health workers. We pray, Father, that thou wouldst preserve and keep them and help them. Give government wisdom in all decision-making. And grant, Lord, that even if thou wouldst please thee to intervene to stop the spread of this virus, Lord, we pray that thou wilt do it. And even use the vaccines that are coming in, whatever means thou hast ordained. We pray that thou wilt use these even to help at this time. We pray, O God, that thou wilt undertake for the protection of nurses and doctors and those who work in hospitals and nursing homes and residential homes, those who work with care in the community, those who are essential workers. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt keep them safe in these days. Undertake for us and bless us. Move in our land with mighty power. We pray that across this land, in the cities, in the towns, in the villages, in the country hamlets, that thou wilt move by thy Spirit, that once again this land will resound with the preaching of thy word. And Lord, there may be rivers in the wilderness and streams in the desert, that, O God, there might be showers of blessing. We thank thee, O God, the scripture reminds us, then the fire of the Lord fell. And Lord, may the fire of the Lord fall in blessing upon us, even in these times we pray. We look to thee to answer prayer, to glorify thy Son, and Lord, hide us behind the cross. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're going to hear a couple of solos tonight from our brother Dr. Fred Greenfield. We're delighted that we have these recordings, and so they will go out to you tonight. We trust they'll be a blessing to every heart.
Here's a lovely old gospel hymn about the harvest. Consider the lilies, they don't toil or spin, for there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't climb or sow, they're fed by the Master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when my head's bowed low. Consider the lilies, His love they do show. May I introduce you to this friend of mine. He hangs out the stars, tells the sun where to shine, covers the flowers each morning with dew. Yet He's not too busy to care about you. For we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when my head's bowed low. Consider the lilies, His love made a show.
You remember as the Lord Jesus was talking to the people, and He said, you're taking care, anxious thought of what you're going to eat or what you're going to put on. But He says, consider the lilies of the field. How they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet even Solomon and all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. It's a good lesson for us to think about at the harvest time.
Oh, behold the fields are white, it's harvest time. I looked and see earth's golden riches, the hoarding of so much selfish gain. I looked again for ease and comfort. I looked and then I saw the falling golden grain. It's harvest time, it's harvest time. The grain is falling, my Savior's calling. Oh, do not wait. souls are dying. Awake, arise, for there's a work to do. Savior's calling. Oh, do not wait. It's growing late. Oh, behold, the fields, they're white. It's harvest time.
We do welcome you again to our service tonight here in Ballygowan, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you link into this service and as you hear God's word from God's servant in a short while. Could I just make one or two announcements at this stage? First of all, a very special welcome to our brother John Weir, who's here to share his testimony with you all tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless him and bless you as you listen tonight. Most of all, if you're not saved, our prayer is that you might come to know and to trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. Obviously, our services are online at present because of government restrictions during this pandemic. Do remember Wednesday night, the Bible study and prayer meeting will be online, and we encourage you to link into that. We're continuing our study of the New Testament books, and this week it's the Epistle to the Ephesians that we're studying. Do join us online for this, and then the season of prayer at the conclusion of that. We trust you remember that. We must pray in these days. We need to pray for God to move and for God to intervene. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal the land. We had a Zoom prayer meeting yesterday for all our ministers and elders. And there was quite a number that were able to join in by that means. And we had a time of prayer from 10 o'clock onwards towards 12 o'clock yesterday morning. And we do pray that God will answer prayer in these times in which we live. Next Lord's Day at 11:30 and 7, again, the service is online. And I have to be here to bring the Word of God in the morning and the Gospel in the evening. And next Lord's Day actually marks my 16th anniversary as minister here in Ballygowan. We appreciate all the support of the people over these 16 years. And we pray that God will bless us as we continue to minister the Word of God in this place. Normally at this time we do have our offerings, and we trust that you will set aside your tithes and your offerings until next we meet in the house of God. Do remember to pray for all who are sick or have lost loved ones at this time. There are many who are sick in hospital or at home, who are isolating or ill at home through this virus. Some are in ICU, some are still in hospital and do need our prayers. Others have other illnesses, even many affected mentally by this pandemic. And we trust that you will remember them at the throne of grace in prayer. I'd like to say a word of thanks for all who helped on Friday night with the Zoom Youth Fellowship. It went well. This is the fourth or fifth time maybe we've had the Youth Fellowship by Zoom. And we're looking forward in a couple of weeks' time again to have another one before Christmas. And so we thank all those who were involved in that on Friday night, particularly the Reverend McVeigh in giving his testimony and sharing his testimony with the young people on Friday night. Now we're going to hear 242 in our hymn book, Sinner, How Thy Heart Is Troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. Great hymn by Fanny Crosby. It's in page 274 if you have a hymn book at home. Page 274, hymn number 242. And after we hear this hymn, our brother John Weir is going to come and share his testimony, and he will conclude the meeting this evening.
Friends, it's such a privilege for me to be here tonight just to share a word of personal testimony. And I want to thank the Reverend Smiley indeed for the opportunity and the invite just to come and just to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. It's always a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be able to share your testimony. And I don't know who's listening in tonight, but I pray that if you're a Christian, that you'll be very much encouraged by what the Lord has done in my life and in my family. And if you're not a Christian, that tonight may be the night when you fall in love with Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible, would you turn to 2 Corinthians, please, and the chapter 5. The 2 Corinthians and the chapter 5. And we're going to read from the verse number 14. It's always so important that we read the Word of God. And thanks to our brother Fred, too, for his ministry tonight. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless him in his ministry. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from the verse number 14. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, states, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We'll stop there at the verse number 18. And may the Lord, as always, add a blessing to the reading and to the preaching of his word. Let's pray. Father, we just pray now as we come around your word for these next few minutes. Lord, we pray that you would take away all distractions. And Lord, I pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would give me liberty in this pulpit. I pray that you would bring all things to my remembrance. And I pray that everything that I say tonight, that Lord, you might get the praise, the honor, and the glory. We pray for those tuning in right now who are still not saved, for those that are backslidden, for those that have drifted, maybe for those that have been thinking about getting saved for years. Lord, I pray tonight that salvation would visit many, many homes right throughout our province. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, it's verse 17 I want to leave with you tonight as I share a word of personal testimony. Look at verse 17 of our reading. Paul states, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." You see, when a man accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he gets a new life. He gets a new longing. Everything is completely new. When a man gets saved, he gets a new father. He gets a new family. And he also gets new friends. His company has changed. His conversation has changed. His character has changed. When a man gets saved, he has a love for God. He has a love for the Bible, a love for the prayer meetings, a love for his enemies. His temper, his tongue, his temptations are changed. He is a new creation. You see, the old life has gone. It's what the Bible calls being born again. And I can honestly say tonight that being born again of the Spirit of God is the greatest thing in the world. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, in John 3:3. "Except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." As you know now, my name is John Weir. I'm from the Donegal Road area in Belfast. Still live there in Kilburn Street. And from a young age, my life was very much dominated by football, growing up beside Windsor Park. And as a young lad, I had the privilege of joining St. Andrew's Boys Club, who were based on the Shankill Road in Belfast. And they were sort of the top youth football team in Northern Ireland. So if you played for St. Andrew's Boys Club, you had a good chance of getting scouted to go to England and to go to Scotland. And that's what happened to me at 15 and 16. I was going to many different clubs. And I went over to Chelsea a lot of times. Chelsea was my team as a young boy. And Chelsea had a wonderful player called Gianfranco Zola. He was an Italian. He was small. I'm small. And I always wanted to sign and play for Chelsea. And at 16, I was just about to sign the contract for Chelsea. And disaster struck. I hurt my knee. I had to come home from London, and I was absolutely gutted, as you can imagine. But I recovered from that particular injury, and I went on then to be the captain of the Northern Ireland Youth International Team. And I was just about to break into the Linfield first team at 19. Now, that was another dream of mine, to play for Linfield, growing up in South Belfast, and I was just about to break into the Linfield first team squad, and disaster struck again. I hurt my knee in a real bad way at 19, and I had to stop playing football completely. My friends at that time, Stephen Davis and Chris Brunt, who many of you will know, they were playing in the Premier League, earning thousands of pounds, being famous, and there's me at 19, unable to do the thing that I dreamed about and the thing that I loved. But you know, friends, tonight, looking back now as a Christian, I can see that God had a completely different plan for my life. And I want to tell you tonight that God has a plan for your life. But it's only when you fall in love with Jesus Christ do you realize what that plan is. And listen to what God tells the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had a completely different plan for my life. You see, I was chasing after the things of this world and had no thought about my soul. And maybe that's someone listening this evening. But what does the Savior tell us? In Mark 8 and verse 36, he says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? Imagine that. You could gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And that was me, growing up, chasing after all the pleasures of this world, but never once thought about my soul. I know many people today, and maybe this is you, and they're selling their soul for the drink. There's people selling their soul for the drugs. There's people selling their soul for the immoral lifestyle, for the partying scene, even what their friends will think. Many make excuses. And if you're not yet a Christian as you listen, only you know the excuse that you're making. Many people today make so many excuses. And I was just thinking even the other day that hell is going to be full of people who knew the gospel. Especially in Northern Ireland, churches everywhere, mission halls everywhere. Hell is going to be full of people who knew the gospel, who knew Bible verses and went to Sunday school, who sat in gospel meetings and gospel missions, who heard some of the greatest preachers, even in our wee province, great preachers down the years. But they carried on living their lives without the Savior. No wonder Jeremiah 8 in the verse 20 tells us, the prophet writes, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. I'm so thankful tonight I'm here in Ballygan giving a word of testimony that on my way to hell living an ungodly life. I don't know where I would be tonight if it wasn't for God's goodness and God's grace in my life. And sadly, growing up, sadly, I had no Christian influence whatsoever. My parents were good people, but they more or less let us make our own decisions. Sadly, growing up in Kilburn Street, I was never in a Sunday school, and yet there was a mission hall, a little Belfast City mission hall at the top of our street. Sadly, I was never in Sunday school. I never had a Bible, never read the Bible, didn't even own one. But yet, deep down within my heart, I still believed in God. When I looked at the stars at night, the birds, the trees, the wonders of creation, I knew there had to be a God. And my life hit a real low point at 19 years of age. My family was in a bit of a mess. And I remember getting onto my knees in my bedroom and asking God to help me in my life. And E.M. Bounds is a great author in prayer. And he said these words. He says, there's prayers, but then there's desperate prayers. And maybe there's someone listening to this broadcast tonight, and in your home right now, you are desperate for your life to be changed. You are desperate for your sins to be forgiven. Maybe your family is a mess. Maybe your life is a mess. Well, that was me. And I got on my knees in my bedroom, and I cried unto God with all of my heart for his help. Jeremiah 29:13, God tells the prophet, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And friends, that is the secret. I was desperate. And I remember a presence coming upon me in that bedroom. And I knew that everything was going to be okay in my life. And the way the Lord had planned it, at that particular time, my mom was working with a lovely Christian lady called Peggy Reardon. in the Belfast City Hospital. And Peggy Reardon said to my mother, she says, June, I'm praying for your family. Peggy Reardon planted a seed. Can I encourage the Christian people listening tonight, keep planting seeds. Wherever you work, wherever you live, wherever you go to school, young people, college, university, keep planting seeds. And Peggy Reardon planted a seed. And that same night I cried unto the Lord in my bedroom. I knew I had to go to Peggy's church. I remember getting directions off the internet. No idea where I was going, but I knew I had to go. Looking back, it was the Spirit of God drawing me. And as I walked into that church on my own, I heard the simple message of the gospel for the very first time. And the preacher that night read from Isaiah 53. And you Christian people, you will know these verses well, but maybe there's somebody listening and you've never heard Isaiah 53 preached before. Friends, this is Isaiah speaking some 750 years before the cross. And I want you to picture Jesus down on that middle cross just for you. And Isaiah penned in verse 5 of Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Can you see him? Can you see him in that middle cross? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. In verse 6, Isaiah writes, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that night as the preacher preached, and he preached from this text, I realized, friends, that Jesus died for me. I saw him down on that cross for my sin, for my shame, for my skeletons in the cupboard. And I remember the hymn that was sung that night in the meeting. It was a lovely old hymn written by Philip Bliss, "Man of Sorrows." What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners. That was me. And maybe that's you listening tonight. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And that night, friends, I experienced conviction of sin. Wonder if you've ever experienced conviction of sin. I couldn't settle. And I stayed behind and I spoke to one of the pastors. I got on my knees and I asked the Lord to save my soul. I didn't understand everything, but I wanted to be forgiven. I wanted to go to heaven. And as you listen tonight, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart. And I often say, you know, it takes a real man to be a Christian. It takes a real woman to be a Christian. It takes a real young person to be a Christian. Anybody can go with the world. Anybody can enjoy the pleasures of sin. But it takes a real man and a real woman to stand up for Jesus Christ. And that was the first night I can honestly say I ever heard the gospel preached. And I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was around 16 years ago. I remember the next day going down to the Faith Mission Bookshop in Queen Street in Belfast to buy a Bible, as I didn't have a Bible, and started going out for long walks and going to the prayer meetings and going to the Bible studies and on my own and asking the Lord to keep me and to guide me and to teach me because I had nobody else. I prayed for my family and I asked God to help me learn his word. I remember going to church and just sitting on my own and I didn't understand everything, but I was hungry. I was hungry to learn because I knew the Lord had done something in my heart. And ever since I got saved, the Lord put a real burden within my heart to win souls. It's hard to explain, but Jesus reminds us, he says, "Follow me," Matthew 4:19, "follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I started to try and witness to my family and reach my family. And then my mom and my dad and my sister and my two aunts have all been saved since. And it's just been wonderful to see the Lord transform my entire family. My mother, she smoked and drank for 30 years, and now she loves and she serves the Lord. I used to bring home some DVDs and CDs, and she used to watch them and listen to them, and then she started coming along to church with me. My mother's from a wee place called Sandy Row, and she went to the Sunday school down there, the Alderman Duff's Hall, and She committed her life to the Lord when she was a wee girl, but then as the years went on, she got into the world and sadly got away from the Lord. But she saw the change in my life, and she started coming to church with me. And around 10 years ago, she got gloriously saved. You know, it's wonderful now, the desire for drink left, the desire for cigarettes left, and she now works in the Belfast City Hospital serving the Lord with all of her heart. And it's just tremendous to see the change and how the Lord is using her. And then my dad then got saved. And my dad was just a man of the world. Worked hard for his family, but was out Friday night, out Saturday night. And then the same thing happened week after week. But again, he saw the change in my life. He saw the change in my mother. And he started to take an interest. And I used to leave little gospel tracts about the kitchen and about the house. And my dad read a little gospel tract about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I remind us all tonight as we listen, as you listen at home, the Lord is coming soon, friends. The Lord is coming very soon, and this virus is another sign. God is giving his people time and space to repent, to get ready. And my dad read that little gospel leaflet about the Lord's return and how there were two in a field. Picture the scene. Can you see it? Two in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two in a bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Two grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. The saved person will go, the lost person will be left behind. And my dad, after reading that gospel tract, gospel leaflet, he knew he wasn't ready for the Lord's return. And he started the experience, like myself, he started the experience conviction of sin. For 3 days, 3 nights, he couldn't eat, he couldn't settle, he couldn't do anything, because the Lord was knocking at his heart. And he was so much under conviction, he was driving the car down the Ravenhill Road, just up from the Martyrs Memorial Church there, he pulled into Cherryville Plainfields, and he just cried from the bottom of his heart, God, will you save me, and will you change my life, and will you come into my heart? And friends, to see the change in his life is truly, truly wonderful. I wonder, even if the Lord came back tonight, would you rise to meet him in the air? Are you ready? It's going to be sad that family members are going to be left behind. Friends are going to be left behind. Work colleagues are going to be left behind. But you're not listening by accident tonight. God has allowed you to listen to this testimony. He's given you time and space to repent. And even tonight, I pray that you will get ready for the Lord's return. And then my sister, Michelle, was going through a tough time in her life. My dad and mum were saved around 10 years ago, Michelle about 9 years ago. And Michelle was going through a tough time in her life, and now she's accepted the Lord as her own and personal Saviour. And it's just wonderful to see the change in her life. She lives at a wee place called Port of Ogie, way down the Ards Peninsula. And it's just lovely to see how the Lord has changed her and has blessed her. And she's now bringing up her wee family in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. Again, can I encourage the Christian people listening tonight? Keep praying for your loved ones. Keep praying for that son. Keep praying for that daughter. Keep praying for your husband. Keep praying for your wife, your grandchildren. God has a thousand ways to answer every prayer. And I thank the Lord every day for that wee lady called Peggy Reardon, cleaner in the Belfast City Hospital, who spoke to my mother and planted the seed. I don't know where even I could be this evening. And after I got saved, I, as I said, had a real burden to win souls and started going out onto the streets and started doing a lot of evangelism. And I loved going down to Dublin. That was really my Bible school, my training ground, on the streets of Dublin, meeting people from all over the world. And I used to meet a lot of men who had been in Mountjoy Prison and committed all sorts of crimes. And there were some characters, and they used to say to me, heaven is full of good people. There's no chance for me. And I used to tell them, heaven is full of bad people who were made good before they got there. Friends, there's only one good tonight, and it's our wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, that you would taste and see that the Lord is good. God can use any of us. We have all a special gift. We have all a special talent. We have all a special ability. And on that great day, I don't want to stand before the Saviour and have any regrets. I heard a story lately about an elderly woman in Iran. Listen to this. A missionary was telling me this story. An elderly lady in Iran. She can't read. She's just got saved. and she goes onto the bus and makes sure it's safe. And then she brings out her New Testament with different verses underlined, and she sits down beside someone on the bus and asks them to read the verses to her, and many are getting saved through this wee woman. And then she says she's a wee bit deaf, and the person reads the verses louder, and the next thing the whole bus can hear the Bible verses. Truly, truly amazing. We sang one of Fanny Crosby's hymns tonight, didn't we? She was blind, but she wrote some 8,000 hymns. D.L. Moody, he worked in a shoe store, and he became a great evangelist. Amy Carmichael suffered from a disease of her nervous system. Gladys Aylward was rejected by the missionary societies, but was used mightily in China. All brothers and sisters, friends tonight, oh, that we would get on fire for God in these days. Oh, that we would see a move of the Holy Ghost. And oh, that God would use you and God would use me. One old preacher told me when I was first saved, when God sees the sacrifice, then he sends the fire. Isn't that good? God can get the hold of a man or a woman or a young person who has laid everything on the altar. Just like Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival. In 1904, he cried, "Oh Lord, bend me and break me." And over 100,000 souls came to Christ. Oh friends, this is what we need in these last days of time. Oh, maybe even here in Ballygan, the Lord would start revival. Or even right throughout County Down, wouldn't it be wonderful? Spread into County Antrim, County Fermanagh. Oh, God has visited our nation before. When four young men began to pray down there in Kells, started to get the hold of God, and God swept this nation in revival power. I believe he can do it again. And that's the cry of my heart in these last days, that God would raise up a band of men and women and young people, set aside a remnant that he can breathe upon. 6 years ago, I gave up my job. I was working in a school there in Newton Abbey. And I gave up my job and I said, "Lord, I will go anywhere to do the work of the evangelist, to win souls for you." I live by faith. I could tell you many stories how the Lord has met my need, just living by faith. And I travel around the province now just with one goal, one aim, is to see men and women and young people saved. The Lord Jesus has done great things for me and I'm so glad. Saved me and my entire family. I owe him everything tonight. I owe him everything. And I stepped out in faith and I said, "Lord, wherever you want me to go, my life is yours." And maybe even there's a young man listening or a young woman and the call of God is on your life. Oh, friend, if God has called you, you go. And you go and serve the Lord with all of your heart. I meet so many and they come to the end of their life with regrets. Even Christian people. Should have done this. Should have done that. Should have done the other thing. But friend, have no regrets. And I also get a lot of calls to see unsaved people in their deathbeds. And sadly, many of them have sat in church for years and heard great preaching, but never get saved. And then they panic at the last minute. Maybe there's somebody listening in tonight and you come to this great church and you hear God's servant preach his heart out week after week after week. And you've heard other great preachers down the years. But you walk out and you believe the devil's lie some other time. The Bible reminds us today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So we will finish with our text, 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse number 17. Paul writes, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Maybe even I'm speaking to someone tonight and you're not sure if you're saved. You don't know where you stand. Maybe your burden, maybe this virus situation has started to make you think about things. I've been amazed over these months at the amount of people that have trusted the Lord, different places, because they've started to realize, as they see Scripture, as they see what's going on in the world, they've started to realize that the King is coming. And maybe that's you. I pray that you will make that final step this evening. Charles Wesley penned that he breaks the power of cancelled sin, that he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. And his blood availed for me. Friends, it's great to be washed in the blood. It's great to know that all your sins are forgiven. And it's great to know that you're ready for heaven and for home. Maybe even I'm speaking to a Christian and you're struggling tonight. Maybe you're under pressure. Maybe you're going through trials. Maybe you're going through difficulties. Maybe you're going through family situation. Listen to old Charles Spurgeon. He said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. That's not good. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. That snail just kept going day after day after day. And that's some of us. But we're going to make it. Because Jesus has promised us, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, friends, it's wonderful. This salvation is wonderful. And I often say my name might not be in the Belfast Telegraph, but my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's going to be wonderful to spend eternity with the Lord. Maybe even you have a godly mother in heaven. Maybe you have a godly father in heaven. Maybe you have a brother or sister there. Maybe you have a wee child there. Why don't you get saved tonight? Get right with God tonight. And you will see them again. Heaven won't be complete if you're not there. How do you get saved? Hear my last words. How do you get saved tonight? Maybe you're thinking about it. First of all, friend, you've got to recognize that you're a sinner. If you recognize that you're a sinner tonight as you listen, you can be saved. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, you've got to receive Christ. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Thirdly, you've got to repent. A lot of people tell me that they're Christians today, but there's no repentance in their life. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. Fourthly, you've got to remember the blood. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then fifthly, you've got to rejoice. The Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. And maybe there's just one sinner listening tonight that's going to get saved. If you get saved tonight, the angels in heaven will rejoice. Friends, I give the Lord all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for what he has done in my life tonight and within my family. There's nothing good in me. And there's really a wee chorus that sums up my testimony, and it's this. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches and broken pieces. That was me and my family. Heartaches and broken pieces and ruined lives is why I died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. The poet wrote, there's only one life. Listen now. There's only one life. And it will soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. You might get 50 years. You might get 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. But friend, do you ever think about the great eternity? The Bible says it's heaven. Or it's hell. And only you know deep within your heart, if you were to die tonight, where you would be in God's eternity. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wherever you listen, as this broadcast finishes, why don't you get on your knees? Say, Lord, save me. By your bed, by a chair. Lord, save my soul. Forgive me of all of my sins. Come into my heart. And from tonight, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Maybe even there's a backslider listening tonight to this broadcast. Prodigal son and prodigal daughter. And something happened to you. Something happened and you slipped. You got away from the Lord. Why not tonight? Why not come home? The prodigal son in Luke 15, he came to himself. Why don't you come to yourself tonight? The Father still loves you. He's waiting on you with open arms. He was waiting on the prodigal to return. And he welcomed his boy home. Why not from tonight get back to your first love? Get back to your first love. Get back to your first altar. And from tonight start serving the Lord afresh. And dear Christian friend, oh, let's not be led astray in these days. Let's not be lukewarm in these days. Let's do all that we can to win precious souls, to pray and to seek God's face, that we might see a move of the Holy Spirit. If I can be of any help, please get in touch or get in touch with the Reverend Smiley. You can get in touch with us there on social media. We are your servants for Christ's sake, and we're here to help you in any way that we can. Maybe you have questions or things you're not sure about. give us a ring. We can open up the Bible and we can show you from the Word of God how you can be saved and how you can be ready for heaven. May God bless you richly. Thank you so much tonight for taking the time to tune into this broadcast just to hear a bit about what the Lord has done in my life. And I would value your prayers as I continue to travel the country striving to win precious souls. Only Jesus can save. I can't save you. Church can't save you. Denomination can't save you. There's only one Savior. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your help tonight. We even thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, I thank you for those that have tuned in. Lord, I pray especially for those that are not saved. Lord, those deep within their heart know that they're not saved. Lord, maybe they come to church. Maybe they carry a Bible. Maybe they look the part, but they've never been born again of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you would save souls tonight. Men, women, young people, even boys and girls listening. We pray for prodigal sons and daughters. We pray for those backsliders. Lord, we realize our nation is full of backsliders. Lord, we pray tonight that men and women and young people would come home, would come back into the fold. And Lord, even for us, as your own dear children, Lord, help us not to be half-hearted in our service. Lord, forgive us for our apathy. We pray, O God, that you would come and fill us mightily with your Spirit, that, Lord, you would do great and mighty things in these end days. We know you're coming soon. And Lord, in that great day, we don't want to be ashamed when we stand before you. We long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thy into the joy of the Lord." We love you, Lord, and we worship you. Thank you for the day and hour you saved a wretch like me and my family. I owe you everything tonight, Lord. And I thank you so much for the great privilege of serving you. So these things we ask in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening, friends. Good night and God bless. Thank you.